You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of anyone else associated with this radio station. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Welcome to the Thunderbolt for 2021! Yes, it's a brand new year, and we're ready for it! You can look for new heights in iconoplastic rabble-rousing this year, as this may be the year that we finally do whatever it is we're going to do. And never forget your Thunderbolt maxim. Always be prepared to be unprepared. And for our very first Thunderbolt this year, after deep, exhaustive, and methodical consideration deliberating all of the very many critical issues that now faces humanity, we have chosen to feature a giant lizard from Argentina called the Argentine Black and White Tegu. The Argentine Black and White Tegu is an omnivorous lizard, and it will eat everything from fruits to seeds, bugs, birds, and alligator eggs. And the Argentine Black and White Tegu is invading the American South. They first appeared in the wild in Florida, and now they are rapidly expanding their range, having already appeared in Georgia and South Carolina. The Argentine Black and White Tegu also has an attribute I did not even know existed, wherein they are partially warm-blooded lizards, and that they can have a body temperature of up to 18 degrees Fahrenheit higher than the ambient temperature. Tegus also make good house pets. Because they tend to be docile as adults, they are very intelligent, and they can even be housebroken. Just keep an eye on your birds and your alligator eggs. All right. So I am replaying the very first show that aired in 2021 because in light of all the penis wagging that is happening betwixt the U.S. and Russia these days, I wanted to point out that just before Biden assumed office, I predicted that something very similar to this would happen very soon, since his entire administration is infested with people who spent the Trump years either lobbying for war profiteers or working for think tanks that are funded by war profiteers. Let's take another listen. So, regular Thunderbolt listeners will not be surprised that the Biden administration is already lining up to do what Democrats always do, which is to start cowering in the corner every time that the Republicans start calling them names, and then cave in to most, if not all, of their demands. Mitch McConnell has already stated that he plans to choose Biden's cabinet for him. In addition, never-ending interventionist wars are likely once again to become a bipartisan issue now that the ironic exception of Donald Trump is out of the way. And I say ironic because Donald Trump was the first president since Dwight Eisenhower who did not take us into a new war. And, in fact, Donald Trump's distaste for foreign military entanglements was one of the only shining lights of his entire administration. With Joe Biden's cabinet picks, though, he is already making clear that his administration is going to continue the traditional American policy of bread and circus for the American public and fiery death and destruction for vast swaths of the rest of the planet. Yes, people, Joe Biden is gearing up once again to begin rattling sabers in order to make all of his defense contractor, campaign contributor friends happy. And indeed, nearly every candidate for a cabinet post shares a long history of both promoting every interventionist war that ever came along and then extracting huge financial profits from those wars. Yes, people, don't be looking for Alexandria or Bernie or even Elizabeth to be advising our president in cabinet meetings. Instead, we will reportedly be seeing people such as Susan Rice, who is being resurrected from whatever mediocre oblivion she has been so deservedly living in for the last few years, so she can begin officially warmongering again. Most likely this time against China and Russia. Since leaving the spotlight, Susan Rice has been deeply involved with the Center for a New American Security, which is a for-profit think tank that specializes in, quote, U.S. national security issues, unquote. CNAS is a very small but very influential organization that mostly advocates policies of saber-rattling against China and Russia. Surprise, surprise. And Kamala Harris is also an enthusiastic supporter of CNAS policies. Some of CNAS's top donors include such war profiteering luminaries as Northrop Grumman Aerospace Systems, the Open Society Foundation, the Airbus Group, the Boeing Company, Chevron Corporation, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, BP America, Exxon Mobil, and the U.S. government, of course. CNAS carried a lot of weight with Hillary Clinton, and they are now about to occupy several top spots in Joe Biden's administration. Therefore, it should not surprise you at all that Biden's nominee for Secretary of Defense, Michelle Flournoy, also happens to be a founding member of CNAS. Now, as for Anthony Blinken, who has been nominated for Secretary of State, well, Mr. Blinken was Joe Biden's longtime Senate foreign policy aide, meaning that Mr. Blinken was deeply involved in Biden's promotion of all those never-ending interventionist wars. And it was Mr. Blinken, in fact, that was largely responsible for crafting many of the excuses that Joe Biden used to justify invading and occupying Iraq. And remember, the Democrats had the Senate at that time, and Joe Biden was the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee at the time, which was the key committee as far as getting the Iraq invasion passed through the Senate. Both Biden and Blinken enthusiastically promoted the lies that were used to justify the Iraq invasion and occupation. They both continued to promote those lies long after they had been exposed as lies. And these days, Biden is now lying about his role in all of that as well. Yes, his involvement in the Iraq occupation would certainly qualify Anthony Blinken for a job with Biden's team in and of itself. That's not all. Mr. Blinken is also an active participant in the now time-honored practice of using his political connections to make the big bucks. Mr. Blinken co-founded a company called West Exec Advisors, which pushed the Pentagon to award big fat contracts to the usual Silicon Valley suspects in order to develop face recognition software for use in killer drones. And so Anthony Blinken not only made lots of money from his Iraq policies, but he directly profited from supplying some of the weapons used for the mass murder of mostly civilians that was part of those policies in Iraq and in numerous other locales as well. And guess what, people? We can now welcome Avril Haines back into the fold as nominee for the Director of National Intelligence. Former Deputy Director of the CIA and former Deputy National Security Advisor, who is responsible for compiling all of those kill lists that were presented to Barack Obama every week so he could decide who would be blown to bits with a Predator drone along with whatever civilians happened to be in the general area at the time. In other words, Avril Haines was deciding who deserved to live and who deserved to die, along with whatever civilians happened to be in the general area at the time. People like that make me very nervous. It was also Ms. Haines who redacted the Senate report on torture under the Bush administration to the point of pointlessness. And it was Avril Haines who undermined the CIA's inspector general by refusing to punish the CIA personnel who were caught spying on U.S. senators. And by this point, I don't think it will surprise you to learn that Avril Haines also combines her political clout with financial interests, as she has also spent time as a lobbyist for Palantir, a tech company that contracts with ICE to digitally profile immigrants for deportation. It would seem that Avril Haines will also fit right into the Biden administration. And then we have Jake Sullivan, the nominee for Biden's White House National Security Advisor. Amongst other feats, Mr. Sullivan was an aide to Hillary Clinton when he helped convince Barack Obama to go into Libya and institute regime change. Boy, that operation was certainly a big bang success, eh? Yes. They got rid of Muammar Gaddafi. True, that end was achieved along with the traditional mass slaughter of civilians. And true, Libya was transformed from a wealthy, vibrant, and highly educated country into a burnt-out cluster flig with rival warlords battling over whatever territory was left standing. And true, the intervention created a whole new weapons pipeline between various terrorist organizations throughout Northern Africa. And true, Libya has now become a completely lawless free-for-all with literal slave markets operating openly on the streets of Tripoli. But at least Muammar Gaddafi is gone. Of course, the person who thought all of that was a good idea should be back in the White House influencing presidents again. And we cannot forget Kathleen Hicks. Ms. Hicks was an Undersecretary of Defense in the Obama administration. And she also later cashed in on her government connections as an employee of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a think tank funded by a host of NATO governments, oil firms, and weapons makers, such as the usual suspects, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, and General Atomics. And two other members of Biden's Pentagon team, Andrew Hunter and Melissa Dalton, also served in Obama's Defense Department and also moved from there to the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And finally, we come to the aforementioned Michelle Flournoy. She is Biden's pick to run the entire pentagram. And she has an even more impressive resume. Former national security official in the Bush administration, she is now with the American Enterprise Institute, probably the most influential warmongering think tank in Washington, D.C. Michelle Flournoy was Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy under Bill Clinton and Undersecretary of Defense for Policy under Barack Obama, as well as a principal advisor to U.S. Secretaries of Defense Robert Gates and Leon Panetta. There were lots and lots of war crimes under her watch that she presumably advised upon. Flournoy was the principal author of the May 1997 Quadrennial Defense Review that advocated the unilateral use of military power in defense of U.S. interests. Michelle Flournoy crafted the Obama administration's policy of counterinsurgency in Afghanistan, which largely consisted of mass murdering civilians with drones. And along with Jake Sullivan, Michelle Flournoy was instrumental in helping persuade the Obamas to intervene militarily in Libya. And, surprise, surprise, Ms. Flournoy has also very successfully cashed in on her public service, as mentioned, along with Susan Rice, the shelf, Flournoy. Go bounded, see next. Flournoy then joined the Boston Consulting Group as a senior advisor, where she oversaw the development of 32 million in military contracts for that lucky company. Then, in 2018, Flournoy went big time and joined the board of Booz Allen Hamilton, that infamous publicly traded consulting firm that makes so very many dollars from so very many military contracts. Miss Flournoy also joined Anthony Blinken over at West Exec Advisors, where she was also a co-founder as well as the actual managing partner of that lobbying firm for war profiteers. Yes, Michelle Flournoy has been a very busy lady. So with the Biden administration, we have all the war makers and all the war profiteers all in the same package, and now they're all in charge again. What could go wrong? All right. I need to point out that since I recorded this piece, Joe Biden evidently figured out that Michelle Flournoy was too smelly even for his administration, and so he nominated another less toxic warmonger named Lloyd Austin to the position of Secretary of Defense. Anyway, it's time for a station break now, and so the Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. That's a promise, not a threat. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Welcome to part two of the Thunderbolt. While the revolution may not be televised, it will be broadcast right here on this program as the Thunderbolt is most happy to serve as the voice of the revolution for the Cascadia community. So prepare yourselves, dear listeners, for we are about to embark upon yet another epic year of excitement and adventure, battling evildoers of every description. But first, when I was a youth, I set out to make every day of my life as different from every other day as I possibly could. And for nearly 30 years, I attempted to live a life of perpetual motion. During those years, it was not at all unusual for me to go to sleep in a different state than I woke up in. And for that entire time, I never spent more than 6 months in any specific locale. I have done every kind of job you could imagine. And I've adapted to every kind of environment you can imagine, and many others that you probably could not imagine. In spite of all my adaptive abilities, though, I am starting to have some personal trouble dealing with this never-ending lockdown. I just got my first hug in a couple of months. It's absolutely nothing serious or anything to worry about. Believe me, I've been through much worse. But I mention it here now because if I am experiencing difficulties, I am imagining what less stable and or people who are less adaptable to radically altering environments might be going through right now. If you know people you suspect may be having some emotional difficulties dealing with all of this social isolation, you may want to check in on them and see how they're doing. I would also note here that there has been a major downturn in reports of child abuse. I can guarantee you that is not because there is less child abuse happening. It's just happening behind closed doors these days. And the people who traditionally see the signs of such abuse, such as teachers and school nurses, are no longer seeing such things firsthand. And thus, they are no longer reporting them. Domestic abusers are probably also enjoying a field day. So anyway, what I'm trying to say here is that you might want to check in on your peeps if you haven't touched base with them in a while. They may need you. So, in the piece I aired just before the break, called The Warmonger's Apotheosis, I gave listeners a whole bunch of information, and in the newsletter version of The Warmonger's Apotheosis, I listed all of this information, ignoring my usual policy of providing links to source material. I did that because all of the things I talked about are all right out there in the public record. It was all very easy to find, and every single person and every single company and every single organization that I mention in The Warmonger's Apotheosis can be easily researched. And I now encourage everyone to go do just that, in fact, in order to prove to yourself how easy it is to find this kind of information. And after you have done that, I then invite everyone to consider the fact that no one in the media machine ever so much as mentions any of these connections. It's not as if they don't stick out like a big sore thumb. Most people don't do their own research, though. They depend upon the media. Therefore, since the media never talks about these corrupt and interest-conflicted connections, then virtually no one knows about all of these corrupt and interest-conflicted connections. And what makes this truly horrific, and what makes all of this so vitally important, is that this lack of informed consent is probably the number one reason that the United States keeps engaging in all of these endless wars. I am convinced, in fact, that this lack of information amongst the general public is why our government keeps getting away with reducing large swaths of the planet into burned-out wastelands, and why they keep getting away with killing hundreds of thousands of mostly innocent people and leaving millions of others literally fleeing for their lives. I am convinced that this basic lack of information is why you need media such as the Thunderbolt. So, there is evidence mounting that the severity of COVID-19 is being greatly exaggerated. And as evidence of that fact is the fact that anyone who questions the official COVID-19 narrative is being aggressively censored. I recently read an article in the Global Research News that reports on a group of German doctors who have collected an impressive array of evidence indicating that the dangers posed by COVID-19 are being greatly exaggerated. And some friends of mine have also sent me some hardcore evidence indicating that the dangers posed by COVID-19 are being greatly exaggerated. Now, whether or not these allegations are true, the underlying question needs to be this. Why are so many experts in the field being so brutally censored? If their evidence is flawed, or if their arguments are unpersuasive, then why not simply point out those facts? Especially since these are not partisan political players or conspiracy theorists. A lot of these people are doctors and researchers. So why are such people sharing so much information that completely contradicts the narrative of our federal agencies and all these other organizations, such as the World Health Organization? Well, here's a hint. Like the CDC, the WHO is also a wholly owned subsidiary of Big Pharma. So why is there so much conflicting information about COVID-19? Why are media outlets that share such information not only being censored, but are also being subjected to serious punishment and demonization? Now, Facecrack is engaged in a full-on purge. having recently taken down hundreds of pages, including many, that belong to highly respected news outlets, simply for refusing to parrot the official narrative, which is what news outlets are supposed to do. And why are alternative treatments that have shown tremendous amounts of success being completely ignored and ridiculed without evidence? And the biggest question, why are we giving the government, much less Mark Zuckerberg, so much power over our public discourse? Now we are subject to the truth according to FedBook. Is everyone forgetting the great Zuckerberg's intimate ties with both the CIA and the surveillance state? So that's it for the news and commentary this week. After a couple of tunes, it's time to get to work. All right. And this week's music selection was written and performed by Mike Oldfield. Enjoy. That was from Mike Oldfield's album, Tubular Bells 2. And though they all ran together, that was actually three separate songs. The last one was called Altered State. Before that was Tattoo. And we started off that set with The Sunset Door. And that was some good stuff. And that's it this week. I hope to see you next week. I love making these. I hope you love listening to them. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.